very angry with you, Jean Valjean.
What happened to your eye, Monseigneur?
Didn't he tell you he was our guest last night?
Oh, yes. After we searched his knapsack and found all this silver, he claimed that you gave it to him.
Yes. Of course I gave him the silverware. But why didn't you take the candlesticks? That was very foolish. Madame Gillot, fetch the silver candlesticks. They're worth at least 2,000 francs. Why did you leave them? Hurry. Monsieur Valjean has to get going. He's lost a lot of time. Did you forget to take them?
Are you saying he told us the truth?
Of course. Thank you for bringing him back. I'm very relieved.
Release him.
You're really letting me go?
Didn't you understand the bishop?
Madame Gillot, offer these men some wine. They must be thirsty.
Thank you.
And don't forget. Don't ever forget. You've promised to become a new man.
Promise? Why are you doing this?
Jean Valjean, my brother, you no longer belong to evil. With this silver, I've bought your soul. I've ransomed you from fear and hatred. And now I give you back to God.
It's an incredible scene from one of the great literary works of all time, Les Mis. Any Les Mis fans out there? Yeah? Yeah. This is just one of the many adaptations. This scene kind of encapsulates just in some small way why we're actually even here, right? What we're actually celebrating, which is to say this shadow or picture of Jesus who paid a price for us and ransomed us, as the Father said, from fear and hatred, even when we were evil towards God, even when we turn our back or run away from God. He came and gave, purchased for us through his life and death and burial and resurrection, the chance to have new life. That's what this whole morning, that's what the resurrection is all about. God paid this incredible price. But what's so amazing about this truth, and if you're familiar with the story, or at least this version of the story, this scene happens at the very beginning of the story. It's just the start of Les Mis in here. But church, I just want to say, the resurrection is not the end. It's actually just the beginning. The resurrection is just the beginning of our lives. It's the culmination, of course, of God breaking into our chaos and breaking into our brokenness and our failures and our sickness and weakness and all of our sin. Yes, it is the culmination of God caring for that, but the resurrection is actually just the start of what God has to do in our lives. It's just the beginning. The Bible that you hold in your hand there is going to tell us this incredible truth, and we're about to read it. That this resurrection, this resurrected King who came out of the grave and is alive even today, it's actually just the beginning of our lives. One of Jesus' disciples, I might even call him his closest friend, a man named Peter, who on the fateful morning before Jesus would be torn and crucified and nailed to a cross, on that fateful morning, he denied even knowing Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. If you're familiar with the story, one of Jesus' nearest followers and closest friends acted like he had nothing to do with him. as Jesus went to the cross. One of the greatest failures and most painful moments you'll read about in the entire Bible. And yet, after the resurrection, we find Peter with power and leadership and purpose more than we ever got to see in his life while Jesus was on the earth. And he is writing this letter from this place of power, from this place of conviction and purpose and identity and authority. And in it, it's right there in your hands. In 1 Peter chapter 1, you can look at verse 3. Here's what he says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In other words, this resurrection of Jesus is in actuality a brand new start for you and me. It's a brand new reality. You might even today be longing or wishing for a fresh start. Maybe you've had a tough week, or must be honest, maybe you've even had a tough year. And you need, or it feels like you would long for or desire a fresh start. Maybe you've walked through some incredibly broken things, or maybe you have a mountain in front of you that feels like, I don't even know how to face it. And you feel the longing for a fresh start. I can't even imagine what Peter himself felt after that colossal failure, the fresh start that he needed. And now he's testifying to what this is. Fresh opportunity. I don't know if you ever, as a kid, you were playing around. I lived in a cul-de-sac when I was real young. And the cul-de-sac was our playground. It was awesome. And we had all these games, and the neighborhood kids would come together, and we'd play, and it was awesome. And it was our territory. But then every once in a while, an adult would think that it was their area, and they would bring their car through and do a big turnaround and totally mess up the game. You'd be right in the middle of, throwing the pass or whatever in the game. The parents come and mess it up with their vehicle. And what did you do? You'd yell, do over, do over. In other words, to be able to say, no, fresh start. Whatever we just have had, we need to start over from scratch. This is what the resurrection does. It says what has been can be completely erased. What's been broken can be erased, and you can have, you right now, you, me, we can have a fresh start today. This is the power of the resurrection. This is what we're leaning into. It's why we've gathered here today. It certainly has to be more than a church service. How boring. How awful would it be for us to celebrate some distant party 2,000 years ago and not have it be alive today? It would be a waste. You would be wasting your time. No, the resurrection is saying you can have something, you can have something brand new, even if you spat upon God. Just like the late picture in Les Mis. Even if you were awful, turned your back, have not cared about God, maybe even been hostile towards Jesus. You can have the do-over, the slate wiped clean. That's what the text is saying, that through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, he has caused us to be born again, which is a startling description. And maybe you grew up in church and you're used to hearing the words, man, you can be born again, brother. But I just for a minute, if you wipe all the preconceived notions away for a minute and think about what it actually means to be born again. I mean, how does that even happen? How can you restart life like that? In fact, one of the greatest theologians and scholars And religious leaders of Jesus' day asked the very same question. Jesus was saying, if you want to have fullness of life, you have to be born again. And his name was Nicodemus, and he said, how on earth can I be born again? Like, how does that even work? I mean, weirdly, do I have to go back into my mother's womb? So you're strange. How does this work? And Jesus says, no. You only get born once with flesh. But here, you can be transformed today. Brand new start. Made fully alive. Not in the flesh, but by the Spirit of the living God. You can have something completely brand new. This is what the resurrection power does. Born again, brand new life, brand new future, brand new hopes. That's the way that Jesus actually even describes it in the very last book of the scriptures that you hold in your hand in Revelation, right toward the very, very end. Jesus' own words say this, behold, I am making all things new. The old has gone, the new has come. That's his own description of the power of what he accomplished for us on this day that we celebrate, that you can be refreshed in your heart and be made brand new. And here's what's amazing. It's not even dependent on your effort. Meaning it can't do anything to make it so. It's not, this brand new start's not dependent on what someone else thinks about you. It is entirely possible you're in this room and you've had some awful things spoken over you or said about you. And it loses its power in light of what Jesus has done for us. You can be in this room and right now be incredibly, seriously broken, even hostile towards Jesus. And you can right now have a brand new start. That's what the power of the resurrection does. It just says, doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter where you even think you've been going. Wherever you're in need of, I can come and bring life to you. If you will, turn your heart and trust me. And so the question becomes, okay, well, how? How do we get this brand new heart? And the answer is actually right there in the scripture that you're holding in your hands. Look at what it says. It says you can be born again to a living hope. Living hope, meaning hope all the time. Hope that is fully alive 24/7. It's not dependent on a church service. It's not dependent upon like an Easter celebration. It's not dependent upon any religious thing. It's real. It's living. It is hope that is as alive on a Sunday morning as it is on Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock when you're waiting for 5 to roll around so you can go home. It's that kind of alive. Hope, fully alive, that can fuel you and carry you even on your darkest, hardest days. That's what resurrection power means. Living hope. It never dies. It always has life. And it's different than any other hope than we can carry, that we can give our hearts to. Because we all have little hopes, right? We all have little hopes. I grew up in Texas. And because of that, I was indoctrinated as a Dallas Cowboys fan. And when I was a teenager in the early 90s, it was awesome. It was amazing. I was living the dream. And since 1996, for 30 years, every August, just so hopeful. Just think a lot. I like the draft. Felt good about that. Free agent pickup is good here. I think we got a chance. For 30 years, my hope has been dashed upon the rocks of despair in the NFL. And the reality is this. Every one of us has all kinds of little hopes and all kinds of things that never can measure up. There's only one living hope. It never fails. You can put your hope in all the places. We do it all of the time. My question for you, my question for me this week as I was even getting ready is, where is your hope? What do you put your hope in? Is it in circumstance changing? If I could just get my job to be like this, then everything will be okay. If we could just figure this out, if we could just get the marriage this way or the career this way or the influence that way, then everything would be okay. That's not living hope. And what we find all the time is that whatever those little hopes are, they always fall short. The resurrection says no. It's not based on circumstances. It says no, you don't have to go back to a life of slavery, to the ups and downs of this life. You don't have to be a slave to your failures, to your shortcomings, to every way you've fallen short in your life and in your job and with your spouse and with your children and every other place we do life. You don't even have to be a slave to your weaknesses and the places that you wish you were greater or better or had more. So the question is, all right, well, how do I get this living hope? How do I get it? How do I get to live in this? Where it's not a fairy tale, but it's something that I experience every day. That's the question. And God says, well, I'll tell you how. Here's what I want you to know. The God of the universe who created you says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come and I will make my home inside of you so that you don't have to be at church to find life. You get to carry life everywhere you go because life is my presence. It will be with you and in you and upon you. Romans chapter 8, another beautiful letter that was written, says it this way, that if the Spirit of Him, which is Jesus, the Father who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Amazing. The one who created you and the one who saved you and ransomed you wants to show up right here, present with you. As much on a Monday as on a Sunday. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that kind of power can actually be in you and with you. You can have it. And there is quite literally nothing that can disqualify or keep you from it. The only question is, will you open your hands and get it? Receive it. It's a gift. That's the question. Because we all know that that is power that is far beyond anything you and I can create. To be able to have that right now in our lives, to live that way, you can't do it. You can't create it. You can't fashion it. We all know that we're in need of something. This is what you can't get away from. Every human knows they need something more. It's every movie, every story, every book, every song telling you the exact same thing. I desire, need something more than me. If I could just get the right job, get the right position, get the right person, then I could be whole. If I could just get the love of my life, then everything will be okay. Except you married the love of your life and then you discovered they snore like a freight train, right? Or they eat cereal in a way that is offensive to humanity, right? You love them. But they don't have it all, do they? Spouse will fall short. Your kids fall short. Job falls short. Every other place we can try to find our hope, we will continually find they can't fill the longing that is there that won't leave you. We can keep looking for 100 different ways. And the temptation is to think, well, I just want to be a good person. If I'm just a good person, and I treat people nice, isn't that enough? But we also know that being good isn't enough. We can be as good as we want to be. It's not enough. There's actually a scripture that talks about this. There's another letter, beautiful letter written by the Spirit of God. And it actually describes what will happen to all of the world, all of humanity, as we get closer and closer and closer to actually seeing this King who is alive face to face. And he says he wants to describe what the days will be like and what will happen to culture and humanity. And see if this doesn't sound somewhat like 2026. And you might even recognize a few of these things in here that you have experienced, struggled, or wrestled with personally. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, for people will become lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. All the parents are like, listen up. Ungrateful, unholy just means not willing to be set apart. Heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then the very next thing it says is having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Meaning, you can look really good and be really good and do really good things, but not really be alive. No power. In your own flesh, in your own ability, from your own strength, trying to look and be like a good person. Being good does not mean being alive. That's what the scripture's saying. Form of godliness, but with no power means you try to be good, but you will not experience the life, all the good things that you can do to try to measure up. You still will find yourself falling short and longing for something more. Being good doesn't define our purpose, because the best good you've got to bring in your own strength and in your own way is empty. The best husbanding I can do, the best parenting, fathering I can do, the best pastoring I can do apart from God and in my own strength is empty. It's broken. It will not lead to life. It just won't. And we all know it because we've all tried our own way. And it just doesn't measure up. It always falls short. But resurrection power means you can be more than just a good person. Resurrection power means you get to be a part of changing worlds. What do we mean by that? Meaning, when you're in Christ, when you have him, when the Spirit of God takes residence and resurrection power comes on you, you get to be a part of seeing generational curses broken off your family line. You get to see God moving and rewriting the trajectory of your life, the trajectory of your family. That every cursed or broken thing that's been spoken on you, over you, or every broken thing that you have done in your past gets to become a part of a story of testifying to the greatness of God. Even the broken parts of you get radically transformed under resurrection power. Now your sordid past is actually a beautiful story of God's glory and redemption. That's what happens with the resurrection. There's no good you and I can create. We actually get, with resurrection power, to see God transform the world through these broken vessels. That's what we get to do. You know, I'm frail. I don't have it. I've fallen short. Well, welcome to the club of seeing what God can do with broken vessels. The resurrection means you and I have access to power that you and I can't create. We get to be a new creation where everything has fresh purpose. Our jobs take on a totally different purpose. Our homes have new purpose. Vacation has new purpose. Relationships have new purpose. What is the purpose? Christ alive in me, the hope of glory forever. Even in the midst of this really messy, broken world, the promise of forever, beautiful and glorious. So you and I aren't fighting for the scraps from the table of the world like everyone else is. Come on. How exhausting is it to try to fight to have what everybody else has? You flip on Instagram till you're blue in the face, looking at all the cool things out there, hoping and wishing you were that, when resurrection power is actually available to you right now. Where your family, where your purpose takes on powerful, dramatic meaning. Resurrection is just the beginning. That's where true power in Christ comes. What we were always meant to have. We were always meant to have this with God. Sin stole it. Jesus came and gave it back to us. Will you take it? Receive it? Hold it? Your whole world can be in shambles today. And God can come and restore you. He can give that to you. That's what he does. Promise far more than anything you could create yourself. It's amazing. We've got this king who gave his life, who's saying, come to me, you who are heavy. Come to me, you who are weary and tired and broken, and learn from me. I will give you rest. Connect your heart to mine, and I will give you life, and life to the full. The rest that you and I need, it is found in him. Now, I'll just finish. Because it sounds and preaches good. But how do we live? my wife and I were talking, chatting. Some things going on, and my wife just had to pause. And as we just started to talk, she just was lining out the fact that there were many and several really heavy things going on in our world, like just in our own life, like some hard stuff in our lives, some hard, really things for people we love and care about. And as she was just kind of listing out the number of things that felt really heavy to us in our own life and in the lives of those around us, those we feel that we care for and want to be responsible to, and the list kind of became overwhelming. And so she said, you know what? I think we should pray. And just ask for God's radical authority over all this. And I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. Pray. And so I just sat down in the chair next to her and just grabbed her hand. And just for 8, 10, 12 minutes, I don't know how long it was, all we did is just started naming. Okay, God, here's this, and this is heavy, and here's this circumstance, and just started naming every hard and heavy thing that felt like it was piling on us. And we confessed that we're not God. We confessed our need for him. We confessed that if we didn't come to him, the temptation would be to try to fix it all, or what do we have to do here, or to try to spin our wheels or feel super anxious about what's happening, or all of those things. Confessed it all and then just said, God, would you come and would you touch this and have your way in this and move in this way and cover this? Would you and come over our lives and empower. We take authority over our home and our kiddos, our marriage, and in the four walls of our home, like you only here. No enemy doesn't have any place here. You bought this for us. You purchased this for us. Do you understand what we're talking about, where it goes from like a Sunday morning thing to like, this is literally a Thursday afternoon, resurrection power. And we prayed and said amen. And nothing was magically changed on the outside, but we were changed in a moment. We had something fresh and new that we don't have to sit underneath all week long, fearful and worried and scared. We just gave it, and we did it out of our need. It wasn't like some superhero thing. It was actually us opening our hands saying, God, we can't carry these things. We need you to carry it. Let me tell you, resurrection power on a Thursday afternoon means you can take every heavy and broken thing and give it to the one who has already taken it and came out of the grave victorious, so you and I can have life and life to the full. So the question is, will you get it? Will you receive it? Y'all stand with me. This is what living hope looks like. I'm going to invite Megan to actually come up with me, because we're just going to pray over you as families. And it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing just to get to do it and just ask for resurrection power. And I just, even as I say, just God, we're going to come before you here. And in fact, just where you're at, if you just shut your eyes and just tune everything out, because some of you are here and you've never asked Jesus to be Lord over your life. You've never asked him to come and make his home in you. Never confess your need for him. And you can do that right now. Resurrection power in an instant. You can have that if you will just ask him, surrender your heart and life to him. And some of you did that a long time ago, but you've been running from him. Or maybe you've just, your heart has gone cold. And this is an opportunity to receive. And I'm just going to have Megan pray over us, that we might just receive this resurrection power again. If that's you, you can receive this full-scale blessing of the heart of the Father in sending his Son so that we could be with him. In Jesus' name.
God, I thank you for my own story with you, just delivering me of fear, of things beyond my control, and then delivering me of shame that was connected to my own sin and brokenness. I thank you that that's my story, and that's the story accessible and available to every precious person in this room. Because God, if you did it for me, you'll do it for anyone in here. And so God, I pray for a reckoning moment for anyone who needs it right now, just to come home to your heart. Maybe for the first time, but maybe again. God, I know you delivered me of shame and fear, but you're also delivering me of shame and fear moment by moment, day by day, as I need you. And so God, together we just take the mask off, take the veils off and say, we need you, Lord. We need you. And God, we also celebrate the fact that you are right here and accessible. You're not far off in the distance. In fact, for anyone who feels extra brokenhearted, scripture promises he's extra near to you. Scripture literally says he's near to the brokenhearted. So for God, for anyone who feels broken or exhausted or ashamed or fearful, Holy Spirit, would you just bring your rest over that heart right now? And church, we get to open our hands and say, we receive it. And if you just need to step over a line of agreement with the Lord, just like Keith was saying, resurrection power is just the beginning. So if you need to step over a line, just go there in your heart with the Lord right now and just step over that line of I agree with what the word says. Even if I don't feel it, I agree with you, God. And I want to partner with you. And maybe you never had someone to grab your hand next to you and pray with you. We'll do that with you this morning. But if that's not your story, it wasn't mine either. And so the Lord is just in the business of making all things new. And he will do it for anyone who asks. So Holy Spirit, just fall on us with your peace and rest. Salvation, God, for anyone who needs it, who needs a home, who needs a father, provider, a nurturer, a comforter, an advocate. You are all those things. You are everything that we need. Everything that we need. So God, we do just invite our church family to come home to your heart with us. Step into the kingdom, maybe for the first time. And God, we will celebrate and rejoice. And we celebrate and rejoice for all the things that you're doing in this room. Again, fresh this morning. Thank you, God, for meeting me this morning in my heart and giving me what I need. And we just worship you, Jesus, as the source of life. We magnify your name. Jesus, you're the only one, as Keith said, the only place that we can really bite down and get our hope and our longings and our needs met. So we just celebrate you, Jesus, alive, victorious, meeting us here with your comfort and your joy, all of it, the full spectrum. We trust you this morning, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll finish by just having a couple of prayer partners. If there's any way we can just come alongside you, encourage you, be a blessing to you, pray over you, pray with you. We're going to be available over here and over here. And I'm going to pray our benediction, our just closing prayer over as we go. I encourage you just to receive what the Lord wants to impart, and then we'll be dismissed. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, the one who is able, we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessings, guys. Love y'all so much. We'll see you next Sunday. Prayer partners, be down front.